This is our Bible reading. It's Mark chapter 9, beginning from verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" Jesus asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus. "Everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "But why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer."
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way in which it teaches and guides us. We thank you for the way that it can strengthen and comfort and encourage us. And Father, we thank you for Will. We praise you for the gifts that you've given him. And I pray, Father, now that as he speaks, that your spirit would anoint him, that he might preach your word with power and authority. And I pray, Father, for us as we listen, that you might give us hearts that are open to what you are saying. And then give us the courage to put into action that which you're calling us to do. And I pray this in your powerful name. Amen. Over to Will.
Good morning, church. Lovely to see you today. And if it's your first time with us, a special welcome. I wonder how your week's been going, whether you've been exercising this week. Joe Wicks and I, we're becoming good friends, and I managed to do most of the stuff. We've also talked about well-being and, you know, keeping ourselves emotionally healthy. What about keeping ourselves spiritually healthy? How's that going? Because this is a great opportunity, isn't it? This time of being kind of locked down is a wonderful opportunity to connect with God. And this morning, I just want to look at this passage that Jill has so brilliantly read, which just helps us look and think about the person of Jesus. And what I hope is that in this time of lockdown, that we can truly start to connect with God in new and more powerful ways. The background to the story goes a bit like this, that Jesus had been on the mountain with James and John and Peter, and he'd been transfigured. He kind of shone with the glory of God. He kind of revealed his true person. And he was there with Moses and Elijah. And Luke tells us that he'd actually been up a mountain for a whole day. And the following day after his transfiguration, he came down from the mountain. And there he met a crowd. And there he walked into an argument. His disciples were arguing with the scribes. And the reason they'd been arguing is because there was a father who had come with a boy who was demon-possessed. And the issue was that the disciples had tried to cast out the demon, and they had completely failed. And so the scribes were arguing with the disciples. The disciples were probably feeling quite ashamed that they hadn't been able to deal with the problem, and the scribe were kind of having a go at them. And then Jesus arrives and everything changes. And that's what I want to talk about, how Jesus changed that situation, because the truth is that Jesus changed every situation he walked into. And I find that so encouraging when we think about our lives and we think about what's happening now, that the person of Jesus is able to change things. So there's three things I want us to think about this morning. The first thing is, I want us to have a fresh vision of the person of Jesus. You see, when you look at the Gospel of Mark and chapter 9, verse 15, it says, the crowds were overwhelmed with wonder and they run to greet Jesus. You see, they've been watching the argument, but all of a sudden Jesus turns up. Everybody turns around and goes, he's here, the man who can solve this problem, the man with the power, the man, the miracle worker, the Messiah has come. And they all turn and they greet him and they're so excited that he's here. They are kind of amazed. They are in awe that Jesus has turned up. And it's interesting that the crowd recognized who he was. The other thing that recognized Jesus was the demon in the boy. And we see that a bit later on, that when Jesus approaches this boy who has a demon, the demon recognizes that Jesus is actually the Son of God. And so what we see here is a recognition of the person of Jesus, that Jesus is not just the teacher, but actually he is the Son of God. And maybe what had happened is the disciples had become familiar with who Jesus was and the things that Jesus did. But it's interesting, the crowd were just so excited. They were filled with, overwhelmed with, and that's what Mark says, overwhelmed with wonder. I wonder whether we are really overwhelmed with the person of Jesus when we start to think about who he is. Because the Bible is clear that he is not just an ordinary person. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a prophet. But the Bible declares very, very clearly that this person is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. In Revelation, we read he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega. We sing that he is the Waymaker, the Miracle Worker. And perhaps what's happened for some of us is that we've become very familiar with our faith. We take our faith for granted and we take the person of Jesus kind of for granted. Interesting in these times now, we kind of get locked in. And I think one thing I hope is that we start to appreciate the people around us, our loved ones. We appreciate them, our children, our spouses, our family, and our friends. See, it's very easy, isn't it, to kind of lose that appreciation. But I hope that through this time that we would have a fresh vision of the person of Jesus, that he is the Son of God. He's the one who is able to change the circumstances we're in. He's able to bring hope and life and light and joy and peace and love and power to us as we're kind of locked down. Do you know, we sing a lot of songs about Jesus. I was thinking that there was a song we used to sing a long time ago, and this is one of the golden oldies for some of you. Remember, if you remember a song called Open Our Eyes, Lord, We Want to See Jesus. The song was only about 8 lines and could be sung in about 40 seconds, I think. A bit different to some of the songs we sing today. You know, they can go on for 7 or 8 minutes. But such a simple line, open my eyes, I want to see Jesus. And I hope that kind of is something that we want to know more of the person of Jesus. But we need to take time, don't we? We need to take time to focus upon him. And for maybe some of us, we need to refocus our spiritual lives, to take time to appreciate the person of Jesus. That he is the Son of God. He is the glorious one. You see, I think the disciples have become familiar with him, and they lost perhaps the awe and wonder. I wonder if we have a sense of awe and wonder. The Gospels are full of illustrations of the person of Jesus. And one of the ones I really love is when on the Isle of Patmos, John has a vision of Jesus. And this is not the Jesus on the cross. This is Jesus, the one who is glorified. And he talks about how he shone His face shone like the noonday sun. He was robed in white. It was blazing. And it was just a glorious vision of who Jesus is. And we need to recapture a vision of who Jesus Christ is. And maybe today you're kind of not really sure about your faith, about being a Christian. You know, Jesus in the book of Revelation also says, I knock on the door. He knocks on the door of our lives and he wants to come in and share our lives with us. And maybe today that's something you need to think about coming to know this person, Jesus, for yourself, to open your life to him, to invite him to come in and change your life forever. You see, the second thing we see in this story is that actually there was fresh faith. So there was a fresh vision of who Jesus was. But also we can learn from this, there's fresh faith. You see, the father brings the son. The boy is possessed. He has this demon within him. The demon has made him deaf and dumb. It gave him seizures, gnashing of teeth, foaming in the mouth. And in fact, the boy was actually totally suicidal. He wanted to throw himself into a fire. He wanted to throw himself into water. And of course, in those days, you know, what did people cook on? They cooked on open fires. And so this father had spent his whole life protecting his son. And can you just imagine the emotion, the emotions that are involved here? This father is keeping this boy alive, trying to stop him from killing himself. And all the time, as people looked at that boy, they must have thought, the boy's a lunatic, he's mad. But the father knew that he was possessed. And so the father holds this boy and he wants him to be healed. And he comes to Jesus and he says, you know, Jesus, can you change his life? Can you release him from this demon? And we have this lovely thing that the father says to him. He says, if you can do anything, take pity and help us. Take pity and help us. And we know that Jesus was filled with pity, but he was also filled with power. And Jesus' response is really interesting because he says to the man, if you can. It's like, you know, why do you doubt who I am? Because of course I'm able to do this. And then Jesus says these amazing words. He says, everything is possible for him who believes. Everything is possible for him who believes. What an amazing promise that Jesus has spoken to this man. And the man's response is, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. And maybe today we can relate to that, can't we? We can say, actually, you know, Lord, I really want to believe that you're going to bring me through this. Lord, I really believe and I want to believe that you can bring my family through, my business through. You can bring me through what is happening around. Jesus made an amazing promise. He said, everything is possible for him who believes. You see, that's the truth, isn't it? That our faith in Jesus can change our circumstances. Faith in Jesus can change what is happening to us, because when we start to look to him, we realize we have a God who is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. Because when we look at the life of Jesus, we see how he changed circumstances, how he released the people from demons, how he raised the dead, how he walked on water, how he fed thousands of people. God is able. I had a friend called Russ when I was at Bible college, and that was his saying. He always used to say, God is able, but he had a really rich Yorkshire accent, which I'm not going to try, but he would always say, God is able. And I need to remember that, and we need to have a sense of new, fresh faith to realize God is able. Some verses in Habakkuk, which I love, and I'm sort of quoting at the beginning of the year. It says this in Habakkuk 3, verse 2. It says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. O Lord, renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. And that's the kind of faith that we need to have in these days, that we look to God and we say, God, we know you can do something. And those words of Jesus are true. Everything is possible for him who believes. The question is, do we have the faith to believe? And maybe to you today, you stand like a bit like that man, you know, well, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Then we need to continually look to God and give to God the circumstances we find ourselves in. And we need to trust him. And sometimes that means taking our hands off things and just giving them over to God. So I would encourage you, let's have fresh faith today. Because we have a Saviour, we have Jesus, who walked on water, raised the dead, fed thousands with just a lunch, turned water into wine. He is able to do more than we can ask or imagine. So we've had a fresh vision of who Jesus is. We need to have fresh faith. And lastly, I just want to talk about fresh ways to pray. A greater prayer life is something that I believe God wants us to have. A greater sense of connecting with God. You see, what we see is that Jesus comes and, he's the man is there. And Mark says this, Jesus saw the crowd coming, rebuked the evil spirit. He said, you deaf and mute spirit. Because what Jesus wanted to do, he wanted to deal with this. He didn't want it to become some kind of freak show. So before the crowd, he arrives, he starts to speak to this spirit. He says, I command you, come out of him. And the spirit shrieked, convulsed violently, and the spirit came out. And the boy actually looked like he was dead. And people thought, you've just killed this boy. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and the boy stood up. And in Luke, it says that actually Jesus gave the boy back to his father. What a fantastic picture of the power of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus, that there is this sense of being united with his son, who now is in his right mind. You see, here we have Jesus doing an amazing thing. And what happens is in the Gospel of Luke and Mark, it says that they went back to the house and then there's a discussion. And here is a lesson that Jesus teaches his disciples, because they say to him, look, you know, we kind of said all the right things. We tried to exercise that demon, but it didn't work. You see, it wasn't that they hadn't done that before. If you look in the Gospel of Luke, I think it's chapter 6, they'd already cast out demons. They'd already done that. But this time they couldn't do it. And as they have this conversation, Jesus says, the only way this demon can come out is by prayer. If you read Matthew 17, which is the same kind of story, Jesus says to his disciples, you have little faith. He says, if you have faith, you can actually move mountains. Nothing would be impossible for you. So here again, we have this sense of faith, having faith and moving mountains. But see, what Jesus was trying to say is actually this is about prayer. Maybe the disciples have kind of gone easy and kind of felt, you know, we can do this. God's with us. We can pray over the sick and they'll be healed. Maybe they've become kind of relaxed in their approach. But Jesus is saying, actually, this is not the way to deal with these kind of demons. You need to really seriously pray. And I think that that's a real message for us today. You know, we've been watching a bit of Spring Harvest this week, and they talk about the church being unleashed. The church is, you know, in the book of Acts was unleashed and stuff starting to happen. And somebody said, actually, you know, the church today is unleashed. You know, we're out there. And in one church, I think it might be in Bristol, there was a sign up that says, the church is not here, it's being deployed. And that sense of the church getting out there and doing stuff for God. And in a sense, the church is out there, isn't it? The church is. It's kind of out there in the community, but it's locked down. And what I really feel that God is doing is I feel that God is building his church. I feel that God is doing something within his church. And I think that comes down to the fact that God is wanting his church to truly connect with him. You see, when I think about the book of Acts, what happened was in the day of Pentecost, before the day of Pentecost, the church was in prayer. They were put together. They were kind of locked in. and they were praying. And what happened was when the Holy Spirit came, as a response to the prayers of the people, the church was suddenly unleashed. And I really feel that what we are now in is a time where God has locked us in, and we're locked in with one another, but surely we are locked in with God. And here at this time is a wonderful opportunity for us to really get serious when it comes to prayer, to spend time in the presence of God, to connect with God in new and powerful ways. We've kind of said as elders, we want the church to be praying so much more. So Wednesday, we're going from 8 o'clock to 12:30. But also we're going to be praying on a Tuesday morning and a Friday morning, because what we really feel is that at this time, perhaps the church can't be out in the community as much as it wants to be. But surely this is a great opportunity for us to be able to connect with God in prayer, because God responds to the prayers of his people. And I really believe this is a time to be sowing seeds, to be soaking the ground with the prayers of God's people, that the Spirit of God might be released. As the church is kind of released eventually, the Spirit of God will be released. And we will see society completely changed by the prayers of the people of God. So here you have an opportunity, don't you? Maybe to pray like you've never prayed before. Maybe to have time with God like you've never had before. How are you spending your time? Are you going to take the opportunity that God has given you? I pray that we do. I pray that we truly connect with God and we start to see the hands of God move. Because where we are in the world at the moment, that's surely what we all need, isn't it? We need a move of the Spirit of God. And that will come, as history has shown, when the people of God get serious and they connect with God in prayer. My prayer is that as God's people, we will see this time as an opportunity. Many of us perhaps resent being locked indoors. And probably I am one of those. I find it very difficult because there are so many things that we could be doing. But this is an opportunity to draw near to God. And the promise of God is when we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. It's an opportunity to experience a fresh touch with the Spirit of God. It's an opportunity to receive new blessings from God. Are we going to take the opportunities that God is giving us to connect with him? Because God wants us to go deeper in our faith. He wants us to have a greater vision of the person of Jesus, to realize who he is, to understand his glory and his might and his power. Here's an opportunity to grow our faith, to reach out to God, to believe that God can do the impossible. And here's an opportunity to go deeper in our prayer lives, that we might connect with God in new ways, in powerful ways, and we might see our prayers being answered in our lives, in our family, and the community around us. Let's take the opportunity that God is giving us to become the people of God he truly wants us to be. Let's take the opportunity we have to connect in new ways with our Father, with our Saviour, and with the Holy Spirit. Amen.